This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Our Econ Extra Credit movie this month is called Invisible Beauty, about a change agent in the fashion industry, model, entrepreneur, and activist Bethann Hardison. We catch up with her story today in the 1980s, when fashion runways turned away from a momentary embrace of diversity a decade earlier. Hardison is both the subject and, with Frederick Chang, director of the film. I caught up with Hardison last week. I'm really struck by those early frames in the film. Your first runway show back in the 1970s. You're walking for Chester Weinberg, and you're not a person who gets too nervous or loses heart, but you were starting to question things at that moment, weren't you?
It was quite something that he would like me, think in me, because I've been to others, and they were like, I like you, but you're not right for me, because I was a different kind of girl coming along at the time. I was really, really, very happy. But at the same time, you know, you're nervous. It's like, you know, going on a stage for the first time and in front of an audience that you don't know and they don't know you.
But it's even more than that, right? Because you're breaking almost a barrier there and you don't know what the reaction's going to be. You don't know if you'll be accepted or rejected in that setting.
Exactly. But you also don't know that you're breaking a barrier. There were other girls of color, but they were much more sophisticated that worked on that avenue. You could tell the audience was uncomfortable because there was starting to be some talk.
When I went out in that showroom, there were Southern buyers. And Southern buyers, as soon as I hit the showroom, they couldn't hold their heads up and look at me.
I knew it was because of me, because that was the only time it was happening. But I didn't think it was because of my color or anything like that. I just thought, well, I'm not their type, you know, more that than anything else. Of course, later you can sort of add things up if you want to go down that road.
So how long did it take from that moment until a place where you got the full applause, where people really got what it was that you represented and what you were doing?
Maybe because I had people like Willie Smith in my life, you know, well-known designer at that time. It was just an experience. But when it came down to like something like Versailles, that's when you get your great applause, because the program goes up in the air and everything in the world is like more magnificent. And the idea of it really was so surprising, because it was 10 girls of color. But 10 still is a lot when people are not used to seeing hardly any in that region. And then it became just a wonderful experience for everyone. And the good news about it, too, is that it influenced certain designers to want to use girls of color. And I think it was a great, not only showmanship of how Americans do things, but also see these beautiful girls mixed all together. It was a cultural shift.
Would you say that some of the significances of Versailles are on themes of diversity and on models that didn't look the old way? And you had a famous agency that had a lot. It had a roster. I was looking through that roster. Loads of black models and more.
No, loads of white models and black models.
That's
what I had. I knew what to do. I knew I had to come with the same product in competition to what was out there. I couldn't come with a black model agency. That was never going to work, because that wasn't a time or opportunity to do so, because it's not like that many models are selling in that way. When I started this model agency, which, believe me, I never wanted to have a model agency, but I wind up doing this model agency, and I knew I had to do it a certain way to please me, number one, and also to make sure I took care of the kids.
The great thing about having that agency is having a white model agency, per se, and having good kids in it that were non-white was to see the difference of how things were in the advertising dollars.
You know, whatever happened in the 70s, they started, you know, leaning away from it in the 80s, because Calvin Klein put the print girl on his runway and took out all the runway girls. So that changed the game, and that put nothing but white girls on the runway, because that's who was in the editorials.
Well, Ms. Hardison, you're saying something fascinating and problematic, right? You're saying that models for magazines tended to be less diverse because publishing was publishing with its biases and discriminatory impulses. So when you switched from putting models who were in magazines up on the runways, it had an effect.
Oh, absolutely. There weren't any black girls other than maybe Iman, Pat Cleveland once in a while, but didn't have hardly any that were really working editorially.
I heard this more than once. They don't want their product to become a symbol of luxury for people of color.
A man named Regis Penez came in to start American Elle. That changed the game. This magazine out of France comes into New York. All of a sudden, by mid-80s, late 80s, you start seeing girls of color in those magazines, which we hadn't seen before. When you think about yourself,
You know, when you look back at the history over the decades, dealing with diversifying fashion, diversifying modeling, it's in fits and starts.
Yeah, because as soon as you think you can lay down, it's all right. Someone calls you and tells you, no, you got to come. Look what's happening. You hope even now that it doesn't do the same thing. I think I actually wrote those letters in 2014. And the letters that I wrote, just basically calling out the individual design houses that were negligent in incorporating more than one, if none, models of color on their runways for consistently season after season after season. And so those kind of things were important to do. And since then, things have changed.
That season, there were two black girls in Prada. So I called up Beth Ann. I was like, I can't believe it. This season, there were two black girls in Prada. And she's like, call me when there's five. Click.
It was courageous. You were calling out fashion houses by name. What was the deal? They were hiring an occasional black model. That's what it had come to?
They weren't hiring any to be on their runways. And if they did, maybe one, but it would be consistent like that. That's an imbalance that's crazy. That's just obvious. And you see that there's certain houses that are really prime, that are really important, that just are just comfortable. It happens to them. You know, they follow the yellow brick road. Some one designer does it, and it's a good idea at that time that other people just fall into line and follow that. And they can stay on that train way past many good stops. The most important thing was when I sent the actual letters to the individual councils of fashion, I also sent that same letter to the press. So when they got it, the press got it.
You know, we've been talking about really the industry side of this. What do you think on the other side here in 2024 for the market? Are you finding people who buy fashion, people who are interested in fashion, the audience for fashion publications? Are they ahead of where the industry is? Are they demanding diversity?
If you're a revolutionary, I don't think you really care about fashion per se. You may care about something wrong not being right, you know, that you need to go in and speak on. But this whole thing when people say you need to boycott and all that, I always laugh at that because I'm not a boycotter. I'm going to try to switch the cards around it and make something else happen, get the other guy to see the right and the wrong that they're sitting in. Although I've watched younger people actually go up against, you know, something like a Starbucks and they've really changed the game. So there goes boycotting. But fashion is such a different game. I don't know. I oftentimes wonder what they see. But right now, everyone is joyous because their representation in the game. You see the models of color. You see them consistently in advertising, in editorial, and on the runways. So there's no reason to boycott. For those who think there is, I find myself feeling very offended. I said, after all the good work we've done,
Beth Ann Hardison, entrepreneur, fashion icon, social justice campaigner. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, David. It's been lovely talking to you.